Before we go to our scripture text this evening, I would like to read two questions and answers from the Heidelberger on Lord's Day 18. It looks at the fact of his ascension and then the advantage of his ascension. And we're going to be dealing mostly with the second one, the advantage. Question 46 says, how dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? That Christ in the sight of his disciples was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And then question 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take us up to himself, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not on the things on earth. And it is that passage of that last part of that question and answer that we concentrate this evening. So let's turn to Colossians. I'm going to read chapter 2 and the first four verses of chapter 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and wisdom. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So far, the reading of God's word. It is those last four verses that are our text for this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the grand theme of the book of Colossians is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the center. Jesus Christ, the meaning. Jesus Christ, the purpose of all creation and all redemption. Christ is now in heaven. And one day, we too will be going there. Christ is central in our lives, and God is glorified by us. It is sad that this holy day is neglected by so many. When it comes to Christ's suffering, his humiliation, many flock to church on Christmas Day. But this is the day of Christ's glory. Raised from the dead and ascended back up into heaven, coronated the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What a proper thing it is that we acknowledge that ascension of Jesus Christ and the importance of it in our life. Because our whole salvation is tied up in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ and nothing more than that. There in the church of Colossians, there were those trying to teach other things. They were taking their eyes off Jesus Christ and saying, what things shall we do that we have this eternal life and that we're acceptable to God? And so they would say, don't eat this kind of meat. Don't drink this kind of drink. Don't go or especially go to these holy days, new moons, Sabbath days. And those are only shadow. And those next verses follow. Not holding the head, which all the body by joints and bands having been nourished, ministered and knit together, increaseth in the increase of God. He says, stay away from those kind of things. Keep your eyes fastened on Jesus Christ, the source, the beginning, the end of your salvation. And our salvation is complete in him. You don't need anything else added to that. Nothing can be added to that. We have in our text here then not merely a duty but a command, don't we? Seek the things above. And we have to answer, well, what are those things above? Seek something good. Seek something that is wonderful, something that is great. What a privilege is ours. Our Lord Jesus is seated there in heaven. And our Lord Jesus is there in heaven pouring out his benefits to us day after day after day. Jesus Christ is there in heaven gathering and building and preserving his church. There are those who would do anything to find earthly things, to get more and more earthly things. But as children of God, citizens of heaven. Our heart is there in heaven, and we seek the things that are above. So, notice with me, an admonition to seek the things above. What are they? First of all, Christ seated at God's right hand, the ascended Lord. Second of all, then, are seeking the other things from above. What are they? Thirdly, the outcome. For as Jesus told us, seek and ye shall find. Seek the things above. Christ Jesus seated at God's right hand. We read in our text, if ye then be risen with Christ. What does that mean, risen by Christ? It means two things. Notice with me. Obviously, it refers to those two great events in Jesus' glorification. First of all, you boys and girls from catechism will remember the four steps of Christ's exaltation. His resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, his session at the right hand of God, and then fourthly, his coming again. So first of all, Christ risen means his resurrection. He came back alive. And he walked amongst his disciples. He was seen at least 10 different accounts of that as being seen by others listed in the Bible at one time at over 500 of them. And what's the importance of that? As Christ was raised back to life, so also we by faith are also raised to new life. You and I who were dead in sins have the life of Christ Jesus given to us. And we have to understand that word if. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. That Greek word there, that conjunction that lists the two points together in that statement, can also be translated, and it better translated here, since. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We have been raised with Christ. So it first refers, of all, to Christ's resurrection from the dead, coming out of the grave. But second of all, it surely does also refer to his ascension into heaven. Because there we read in our text, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So that is the fact of Christ's resurrection. A historical event. Glorious as it was, we're going to center more on the effect of that ascension of Christ upon us and for us. For our text says that we have been united to Christ. So Christ is raised as the head of the church. Christ, as the head of the church, ascends into heaven. And we share in that ascension. That is, where the head goes, there the body follows. Normally, in a human birth, the head comes first of the little baby. And that head making its entrance from the womb to the outside world, the body slides after it. Well, beloved, that is also true spiritually, because the earthly things are made to be a picture of spiritual things. Christ, the head, has ascended into heaven, and that means that you and I also ascend into heaven. We are already now citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens from above. We are members of that heavenly kingdom, even while we live here yet on this earth. And when we read here, then if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is sitting, it means that Christ is the object of our faith. That is, consistency in our lives requires that believers live in conformity with the fact. We have been raised to new life with Christ. Now, continuity means that we act that way. We conduct ourselves as those who have been raised to new life in Christ Jesus. Eyes on. How we use that symbol. Eyes on the road when you're driving. But now in our spiritual lives, eyes on Christ Jesus. Because the danger is there of believers relapsing, falling back again into paganism or legalism. I have to do something to win God's favor. I have to do something to go to heaven. I have to obey certain laws. Then I will obtain righteousness. And that's all wrong. That is what Paul is warning the believers in Colossians about. Don't relapse into these man-made rules of what you got to do. What you may not eat, what you may not drink, what days, how you respect the holy days that Israel had. They're just a shadow. They're just a shadow. Their thing is touch not, taste not, handle not. Be careful what you do if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be saved. What a wrong solution that is. Laws made by man, by the Pharisees there. Material cures for a spiritual ill, which is sin in our hearts. No. All the neglect of our body is not going to help us heal the soul's chasm and the soul's illness. It only makes it worse. Christ alone is the answer. Since we have been raised with Christ, that is why we will seek our salvation only in him, nowhere else. Nowhere else. And how can we do that? Because Christ is the source. Christ is the power of that new life that we have. Where will we find our fulfillment? Christ's death, resurrection, followed by his ascension into heaven and his coronation, that is his sitting at the right hand of God, that brings our pardon, that provides for our purity. Christ is there at the right hand of God, which is first of all a position of glory, but it is second of all a position of honor and power. Christ rules. He rules the whole world in his power, but he rules his church in his grace. And so Christ sends his Holy Spirit to cleanse us from our sins. Christ dwells within you and me. The supply of grace remains plentiful. Never does it dribble out or dry up like streams can do. But rather, it seems to be flowing like the rains have been flowing these last couple of weeks. It rains. And so also, Christ's grace and power rains down upon his church, upon his citizens of heaven, without end. How beautiful is Christ Jesus, risen. Risen from the dead, risen from this earth to heaven. The mortal body that he had created for him becomes an immortal body, a heavenly body. The first body that he received was earthly, like ours is. But the body that he received at his resurrection was a heavenly body, as ours will also be one day. So, first of all, Christ is seated at God's right hand. He is the ascended Lord. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ risen from the dead and into heaven. That brings me to my second point, our seeking then the things that are above. What a wonderful command. It's a wonderful command because it says the things above are ours. The things above, up above us. In the ascension, Jesus Christ went up. Where did he go up to? He went to heaven. He went into what the Apostle Paul describes as the third heaven, where God reigns, where Christ is seated at his right hand, and where the church triumphant is, and where all the angels dwell with our God. So we are to seek heaven and we are to seek heavenly things. What a contrast. And that's why I read chapter 2 with this part of chapter 3. You have to remember in the Bible when it was written, there were not chapters, there were not verses separated by numbers. It was a continual flow, and these four verses belong along with chapter 2 because in chapter 2, he's coming to these believers and says, don't seek these things down here below. Seek the things from heaven, not the things on earth. Notice, seek the things above. In other words, seek heavenly things. In fact, the word order is even, the things that are above be constantly seeking. That would be the word order in the Greek. The heavenly things, or the things that are above, be constantly seeking. The attention is there upon those heavenly things that we are to seek. Most lovely things that you and I could have. Far better than rubies or gold or things here on earth, because the things above are permanent things, while the things here on earth are all earthy. They will pass away. Isn't that what Jesus is teaching also? In Matthew, I'm thinking of verse 13. Seek these things. How? Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What's the connection? As in the earthly world, if there is something very precious, one will do all that he must do in order to acquire that. Think a moment of the gold strikes back in the history of the United States. There was gold out there in the hills and in the streams of the mountains in California or in Alaska. And people sold all that they had and traveled over there because they were going to seek that earthly gold. These two parables that Jesus teaches there, one gives oneself and eliminates anything that gets in the way of acquiring what he is seeking. And now we are told, seek those things that are above, for they are so precious. You lay aside the earthly things because they're really worthless in comparison. The heavenly are better. They are better. Why? Because they are eternal. They're better. Why? Because they're far more valuable. They're better. Why? Because they are spiritual things. So what are these things that are above that we are to be constantly seeking? As I intimated in the first point, it is first of all Christ. Christ, the greatest gift God has ever given to mankind. He gave his only begotten Son for you and for me and for all of his elect. Seek to lay hold upon him by faith. Lay hold of him by that living bond. That's what faith is, by that living bond where he is your life. The Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So seek not the gold of this world. Seek not all the valuables that this world has to offer, as shiny as they might be. Seek Christ. Seek the things above. It means, second of all the blessings of salvation. Seek in Christ Jesus that forgiveness of your sins. He has died for you. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross. Why? To wash you whiter than snow. To purge those sins away. Is there anything greater for us, sinners, ourselves, depraved, unable to do any good, that Christ Jesus was given and died on the cross to wash us, to cleanse us from all of our sin? Seek the things above. Another blessing is the righteousness. That not only are we washed clean, but the righteousness of God is imputed to us, given to us. And that was the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. All of his life long, not a moment that it wasn't true, he was obedient to his Father. He fulfilled all of the demands of the law. And that perfect righteousness is accounted to us. That's the way God now sees us in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. Think of poor Luther wrestling how to have peace with God, how to try to make himself righteous, the things he all tried to do. It's a free gift. And what an enlightening moment when he realized from Romans 5, verse 1, we are justified by God and therefore we have peace with God, his righteousness given to us. What other things? Over against the lies of this world and the lie of the devil, there is the truth of God that is imparted to us by the Spirit. Thy word is truth. There's the proper guide for our lives, for your life and my life. Not what society thinks is right or wrong, for they approve many wrong, sinful things, but God's word. Given to us in our own language to read. What a blessing that we may read that word personally as families and as a church family. What other blessings? Holiness. That is consecration to God. And why is that holiness so a wonderful gift? Because without holiness, we read in Scripture, we will not see God. It's that holiness that is given to us, worked in us, that we fight against the sins in our lives. And we live godly lives. What are these things above? A godly life, and that's what the rest of Colossians 3 is all about. how we are called then by God's word and by his spirit to mortify our sinful nature, put it to death with all those nasty things that come from it. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying to one another. Holiness. God's word and spirit gives us from the gift from above that ability to fight the old man of sin, put him to death, and second of all, to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and above all these things, put on charity. Made new persons. The blessing from above is Christ, by his spirit and by his word, gives us grace and power to do that kind of battle all of our life long. And what other blessing is there? That battle isn't going to last all of our life. We have eternal life now already. And one day that battle is going to be done. When Christ Jesus says to you and me, come home, son. Come home, daughter. Your body will lay in the grave for a little while, but your soul will ascend up into heaven and your battle is done. And the great hope that lies before us of when Christ comes again and these bodies are also raised and made perfect in body and soul, we're going to serve him in a new environment, a new heavens and a new earth where there's no temptation, no more sin. There's no imperfections, there's no diseases, no more suffering or pain. Seek the things that are above. How are we to seek them? Three things. We read in our text, verse 2, set your affections upon them. What does that mean? It means, first of all, think about all these things. Set your mind to thinking about these things. Ask a question of myself and I ask it of you. What things do you usually think about most of the day? What's going to be the next meal? How can I make the next paycheck? What kind of car am I going to have? Can I get a new house? Isn't our mind quite often on earthly things over and over and over again? Think on these things, not because you have to, but because the greatest treasure is found there. And you set your mind upon those things by praying for those things and reading in God's word about those things. That helps to put those things in your mind. Why it is a good practice to have devotions in the morning before you go off to work or to school. You put these things in your mind, heavenly things, who you are, a citizen of heaven, the gifts that he gives you. So think. If you want to live godly lives, heavenly lives, then we need to stop thinking about the earthly things all the time and think about heavenly things, beautiful things. So think, first of all, and then with a will, desire those things, hunger for those things. Unlike Eve, who looked at the fruit on the tree and hungered for it and fell into sin, we need to be like Abraham. He had a promise. He had a promise about a land that would be given to him and descendants that would be given to him. And we read of him, he sought the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was satisfied with being a pilgrim here all of his life, never owning an acre of land except what he paid for Sarah's burial, because his mind and his will was on that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's heaven. Thirdly, You think about those things, you hunger for those kind of things, and therefore you seek those kind of things. That means you pursue those kind of things. That verb that is used there in the scripture means persevering effort. It could be translated then, be constantly seeking those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Seeking them, not merely to discover them, but seeking to obtain all those things that are from above. Make absolutely no effort in your life, you will not obtain them. Work is necessary. If a person is going to be a fast speed runner, there's several things he has to do, doesn't he? He has to be on a good diet, not eating candy all the time. He has to train. He has to exercise himself. He has to throw off anything that will get in the way. So also in our lives. Faith as an activity where we throw off the things that would hinder us so that we can think, we can desire in our hearts, and we can seek those things above. How can that be? How is it possible? Can we do that? And the answer is yes. Yes, not in our own strength, for in ourselves we are dead in sins. We'll never seek them. But as Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, only if you are born again can one seek or see the kingdom of heaven. So our life is a focus on Christ Jesus. We have died in Christ to sin. We have been raised to Christ to new life. And we are made righteous by Christ as the head of the church. Christ ascended. He has received the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ, and he poured it out on us. It's by the Spirit and by God's Word that we seek the things that are above. Now you might ask, if this is all so glorious, why are we commanded? Because we have a command here. If ye then be risen with Christ, comes the command. Seek those things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection upon those things. Why? Because we're still earthly, aren't we? We're so tied to this earth. We're tied to our marriages, our jobs, and everything else, our family. We're earthy. And so quite often our desires are for those things that we need. We said earlier in a sermon, we need those things. But more than those things, we need that living relationship with Christ Jesus. We need to be commanded as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Keep your eyes on it. Keep focused on it. Pursue it in Christ Jesus. And that brings me to my third point, the outcome. Christ, our life. Verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. What is the outcome? By God's grace, when we seek Christ Jesus and all the blessings that flow from Christ Jesus, that's called new life. That is eternal life. Eternal life is not some kind of pie in the sky. It's not something, a future thing. Eternal life is something that we have here and now. And while physical death can and will take place normally in one's life's because it is the effects of sin, there is eternal life that death cannot interrupt, that nothing can take away from you. You are tied with Christ, with Christ Jesus, and that life, that new life that you have now already is heightened when we go to heaven. We are being now changed, day by day, month by month, changed more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. As Paul says, from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. And the outcome of this thinking and this willing and this seeking is, second of all, that Christ is coming again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we will appear with him in glory. What an incentive there for the command to seek Christ and his kingdom. A new heaven and a new earth where there is no more temptation or sin, where there's no more sickness or pain or suffering or death. And you and I will receive spiritual bodies, bodies fit for heaven, uncorruptible bodies. Nothing any longer earthy, clinging to an earth, but now transformed like Christ Jesus was. Don't you look forward to that coming of Jesus Christ again? For that is the final step of his exaltation, isn't it? That Jesus is coming again. Do you think about that? Do you pray for that? In your prayers around the table, fathers, do you include that petition, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly? That's how the Bible ends, doesn't it? The Spirit and the bride say, come! And Jesus is coming. And we will appear with him in glory. And appearing with him in glory, we will be publicly vindicated. The world laughs at us, just like the world laughed at Noah. Crazy man, building a boat on dry ground when there never was rain yet before. What does he think it's going to do? Float? Noah will be vindicated. And what about us? Crazy people, they could be enjoying a Sunday out on the water or the golf course, and they're sitting at church twice on Sunday. And they're spending all these big bucks for Christian education, will be publicly vindicated. Christ is worth whatever we do. We are his. Not only publicly vindicated, but the future glory. We will be like him perfectly, no sin, enjoying him. Enjoying his kingdom, enjoying that new earth where we will reign with Christ Jesus. Christ has been risen from the dead, and he has been risen from this earth into heaven. And let's read our text then. Since ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. Father in heaven, what a Savior thou hast given to us. What a marvelous salvation is given to us from beginning to end. Never on our own, never in our own strength, but Christ Jesus, his grace and his power, forming and fashioning us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, by thy grace, we will seek the things above. We will seek Christ Jesus. We will pursue him. We hunger and thirst for him. We pray this all with thanks for that salvation. Amen.